Hello. It's January 10th. It is 12:50 in the afternoon, and I'm here finally. I feel like I have not been very good about making these entries because I was in Ecuador, and I hope you guys had a chance to listen to the first entry, the second one. If you haven't, please do. Please support. So today will be an interesting day because I'm actually going to give you guys this will be a three-part series, and I'm really excited to share all of the information I'm going to share because I'm going to follow my journey just from each day, like from when I got there to like the end of that week and then kind of like leading up to now. So we will have kind of like a past, a present, and a future, so which is really cool because I think that tends to be a general theme, a running theme, which makes sense to this project. But yeah, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody. I'm sorry. I feel like I have shared this story, or I have shared some of the stories that I've experienced already with some of my friends. And so I feel like I'm trying to like retell the story all over again and just thinking like, what do I need to tell? There's a lot to tell though. There really is. And, you know, this entry is really going to focus on my first week there. So from Friday until the Friday after that, and how it went. And it really, that was a very interesting part of my journey, I would say, considering that, like, I was sick for so much of my trip. You know, unfortunately, I was not feeling well at all, which wasn't great. but I had a really good time. I met my friend Sara Estefania, and she lives in Cuenca, but she also is from Quiluac in Cañar, and she is a wonderful, beautiful person. I'm so happy I got to meet her, got to meet her family. Really just such incredible people, and I think just being able to have this interview with Nyukan Chica Osai was really interesting, but that will be in the next entry because I want to give it its own full episode, really like digest and just like that whole experience and like how it kind of like got to that point too, because I feel like there are a lot of things that led up to that, and it starts with Capac Raimi, and so that was a very interesting journey in itself too. So yeah, so there are a lot of things that I definitely want to explore today, and I am going to start with when I left. I left in the early morning at 12:45 in the morning or something like that. ended up having a layover when I got to Ecuador. I went to Quito first, and that was, you know, a long time. I was there for 11 hours, as you guys remembered in the last entry. And then, yeah, so then after that, I got to Cuenca. I got to my grandma's house in Cuenca. She lives there too. And my family ended up coming over. We had a really nice dinner, and it was just a good time. It was nice to see everybody. And this is the second time I've traveled by myself. So for me, I was younger before when I went the first time, but now I just feel different. So, and I already like kind of like went into the mind. I already had the mindset that like this trip was going to be really different for me. And I feel like it really was. But yeah, we had dinner. It was really nice. We talked about, you know, polleras and like how we wear them and how we should continue to wear them. Like the generation, my generation, generations after, just people in general just really need to remember that sometimes our grandmas and our moms are the last ones to wear them, but usually I feel like our grandmas more so than our moms. I'm sure there are a lot of moms who still wear them, but like I just feel like for me, I've only ever seen my grandma wear them. I think my one aunt, she still wears her pollera as well. But it's different, you know. I haven't really seen any younger people wear polleras. I think it was more evident in Cañar when I went a couple years ago, when I was actually like trying to just figure myself out, and I was paying more attention to the details and the clothing and the people itself and the way of life. And yeah, and I noticed, you know, I was like, okay, like there are people who do wear them, you know? So really maybe it's just me also kind of getting more familiar with a part of the world and myself that I didn't know existed. So, you know, it's me carrying my own ignorance. But yeah, so that's kind of how I felt about that. And I don't know, I was able to buy more polleras this time too. So I'm really looking forward to finding ways to not really modernize it, but like incorporate it into my everyday life. I saw a TikTok of a girl, she was wearing her pollera from Peru. And it said, I forgot how it went, but she was basically saying like, you know, our grandmas had to let go of their polleras when they went to the city, but like, why should we, you know? And I think it's a really beautiful experience to be on this end where we now have the opportunity to say, you know, I choose to wear the pollera versus like I choose not to, or I can't, and I have to let go of it because of because of outside forces, because of necessity, unfortunately. So there's a lot of layers there. But yeah, so anyways, I get to Ecuador, I'm there, and then the next day, which happened to be, I got there Friday, the next day was the 21st, and I had no idea when I got the tickets that Kapag Raimi was happening. I didn't know anything about Kapag Raimi, to be honest. Like, when I realized that it was happening at the same time that I was going to get there, I did investigating, I looked into it, and I was just like, okay, like, I feel like this is really, you know, different. It's interesting. And just reading about it was really, really enlightening. And honestly, just a lot of what I've learned over the course of this time period spent in Ecuador, I feel like I've just learned so much. And like all of the stuff that I've learned, I got to see in person. And I think that was really special and a very unique experience too. Because I was like, okay, I feel like I've learned, I've read about this, and now I'm like actually seeing it in real life. So very cool for me. And yeah, so the next day was Kapag Raimi, and they were going to be celebrating my friend Sara. She invited me to go to one of the celebrations that they host. And I think they host them yearly, so they have been for the past couple of years. And that was really nice too, because I feel like I had a chance to experience, like I got to see what was happening in front of me and document that, but I also had a chance to experience it myself and be integrated in a very unique way, and in a way that I wasn't expecting to be integrated, to be honest. But it was beautiful. I got there super early with my cousin. He ended up driving, and we took turns driving as well, because we wanted to be safe and make sure like we weren't falling asleep. So we get there, and my friend, I thought she had said to get there early, like to get there like 5 a.m. So we get there at like 5. I think it was like 5:30 or something like that. We get there, and like people are still like setting up, and like it's a whole thing. And it was like really funny, because we just got there and I felt like I didn't know anybody. And we were just like hanging around. We were like, okay, like we could just try to help. So we were trying to be helpful. We got some wood, help them set up the fire pit a little bit, just tried to contribute where we could. And I tried to make conversation with people to see like what was up, like, you know, what's the plan, because my friend wasn't there yet. And I think she got there around maybe like 8:30 or like 9. And at that point we had, you know, help, we did our thing. And just watching to see what people were doing, what the vibe was like, and kind of just absorbing, like trying to chill and like stick to the back a little bit. But yeah, so I, you know, I wore my pollera that day too, because you were supposed to wear your autóctono fit, and I did. And it was a beautiful experience to be wearing it as well, while documenting, while experiencing, just participating. And it was gorgeous. It was really just so incredibly unreal. And there were a lot of points where I was really like, wow, like this is very different than any other time of my life. Yeah, so basically we get there. My friend Sada finally gets there around like 8:39, and I say hello to her. I'm like, hi, it's so good to meet you. And she looked beautiful. Like, she had this beautiful like white veil, but it was mesh, so you could see through it a little bit. And it was in the back, like at the back of her head, and they like usually bring it to the front, so it looked really nice. Which they ended up doing towards the end of the event. But, you know, hers was laid back. And she had her full vestimiento and her autóctono fit. Like, that's really, like, the most, I think, authentic, like, as it gets. And I'm really, like, the next time that I get another pollera, I really would like for the borders to be made smaller. Because I do feel like part of... And it's so nice to see my own personal evolution of fashion as well within... When it comes to polleras and like understanding them and just kind of finding my way with them as well. I think, I don't know, like I feel like I can like make decisions based on how I feel, but understand what I'm doing. But yeah, I really want my next pollera to have like very small, embroiderment, because I do feel like the original polleras that are Cagnari, are very small. Like, they're not very big and they're flat. Like, they don't have... Actually, the first pollera that I have has that pattern. But I want that pattern on something that's a little... that the material is a little more in alignment with the original clothing, I think, is what I'm looking for now. But now that I have all of this experience, I have all of this understanding now, I think it helps. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that evolution keeps going. But yeah, so I feel like I'm all over the place right now. But there's so much, and that's why I'm just happy that I can just share and like I'm just talking. Like, this is just for me, but you're also listening if you are too. And there's so many beautiful realizations you have along the way. So I feel like it's important to share them. But yeah, so anyways, so we get there, we're doing the thing, I see my friend. She looks gorgeous. She looks amazing. And I meet her family, her mom, her dad, some of the other band members too that had come. But I was kind of, like I said, I was in the back and I didn't want to be really at the forefront of any of it. Like, I just wanted to be really like observing. And that was all I was planning on doing that day. Just really being observant, not participating, because I also didn't know what it meant to participate. Like, what did that entail? What did it look like? How many people were going to be there? You know, I think that when it comes to being part of these festivals and these celebrations is just remembering that you're in good company regardless. Like, these are all people around you that you should feel safe around, because the presumption is that we're all on the same, not wavelength, I don't like that word, but just the same frequency, just the same vibe, honestly. And yeah, I think for the most part, like, it was that way. And I think a lot of it is also just overcoming in your personal self. So yeah, so not to get too carried away, but you know, I meet her family, I meet some other individuals too. There was an older couple that I actually met. And they were really sweet, and they were also the last name was Bichasaka, and my mom's last name is Bichasaka before she got married. So apparently I just realized, or so, I just heard somewhere that like that's supposed to be like an original name from the Cagnari community. And so I'm kind of like, oh, that's really interesting. But I don't know, you know, maybe people just like made that up. I'm not sure, but I think it is an original name just in terms of the way that it's spelled and like how it's broken down. I've seen two breakdowns of that name. But yeah, his name was Jose Pichasaka, and it was nice to meet him. And they were dancers actually, so they were going to be part of the dance that I was part of as well. But we end up meeting, I talked to them, I'm like, what's the plan here, like what's going to happen over the course of the time that we're going to be here. And they were like, okay, well, you know, is this your first time? Like, I talked to them, I actually told them, I'm like, my mom's last name is Pichasaka also. And they were like, oh my God. And it was just really cute to be able to have that experience with someone who's of the community is living that experience on a daily basis. That is their experience. Like for me, it feels very, very unique and special. And I think it's really also just, it feels very important to me when I have those conversations, and I try to be, I try my best to like really make sure that they understand that I'm appreciative of what they share with me. And I think for the most part, it always happens that way. But there were like a couple, anyways, I'll just wait to tell you guys that part later. But yeah, so it was very good to meet him. And yeah, we realized that we probably weren't family members, but we just had the same last name. But that happens a lot too, so it's okay. After that, there were more people who were coming. And at that point, we were all sitting inside of this kind of like a hut. And it was really nice. It was like warm. This was nestled also where we were at the location. It was nestled within the mountains somewhere in Saraguro. I can't remember the name, but we were there all day. So we got there 5. We didn't leave until like 10 p.m. It was a whole day event. So we get inside. We're all sitting in there and talking to them. And then more people start to come. And then eventually they start to divide people up. They're saying, okay, so anyone who's going to dance, come, to inside of the hut. And then people who are also musicians, you need to come inside of the hut as well. So I was like, okay, like up to that point, I kind of didn't really still understand what was happening and like what was going to be the program and like how it was going to unfold. And so we're all sitting in this hut, and the hut is, circular. So we're all kind of in a circle. We give thanks. We kind of just do like a remembering. They end up giving us colada also with some bread, which was delicious. It was great. Very good colada. I loved it. It was so good. And it didn't have any dairy, so it was even better for me. Yeah, it was great. And, we just give thanks. We, give our honor. We give our recognition to the moment and to the people who are around us and to the experience that we're about to have as a collective. And to remember, like, why we're also doing this celebration, why we're celebrating. It's to honor our ancestors, to honor our givers, our providers, the things that provide for us, Pachamama, but it's also to remember and to reclaim and to really understand that we are beholden to something that compels us or should compel us to want to learn more about and want to experience more and get more connected to and have a better and deeper understanding of who you are. And I think it's beautiful. Like it's a beautiful experience. So we're all inside of the hut at this point. All of the dancers, all of the musicians, and my friend Sara, she's part of Nyukanchi Kausai. And they have a group. They're based out of Kiliwak, actually, which is really amazing too. There seems to be it seems like Kiliwak has really had a lot of just development and a lot of leadership in terms of taking the reins and kind of preserving a lot of these celebrations and bringing them back and making it more, I guess, just more out there, more seen, I think is really important. Because there was a lot of people actually that were there. It was pretty full. I would say the whole hut was full. So we were all in there and we give our thanks, and then they all go around and they give everybody like this powder. I don't know how to explain it. But this is all, and it's all like plant-based medicine. So all of it is something that's been vetted. And I believe like just vetted, checked, and everything. And they give us like this little powder, and they blow it in our nose using this. It kind of looks like a really like long pipe, and they do it in each nostril, and it just kind of like gives you like this overwhelmed sense, like feeling, Because for me, I felt like I felt it the most in my hands, and I felt like they were kind of like, not going numb, but I would say just they felt really tingly. Like, that's what I remember. And then after that, they give you the small, like, little elixir of herbs, and they give you, like, it's kind of like a small, almost like a small shot. Kind of like those plastic cups that you usually have at the doctor's office, like those little small ones. So they give you that. And it was really bitter when I had it. And I was like, this is really bitter. Like, it wasn't bad, but it was unexpected. So I was like, okay, like, you just have to take it all at once. So I did. And I was like, okay, I think we're good. So we end up all kind of giving an offering before we head outside of the hut to go into another circle that was outside, and that was exposed to the air. So, like, we weren't inside of anything, like, it was just out in the open. So before that, before we leave the hut, everybody had to give, like, an offering. So there was an offering already there in the middle of the hut, and we would take a little bit of the granos that were there. We would take a handful and we would make a prayer and make a wish, a desire, and then put it into the fire. And then we would walk out. So we were all doing that. And they had recommended, you know, you could take your shoes off. I think it would be really good if you did, just because it's good for you and your body to make that connection while also participating in the dance. So we all start to move our way into the circle, and the hut was not too far away from the circle itself. And it was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like a backyard. Like, think of it kind of like a backyard. Like, if you were to go outside, you'd go further out, and there'd be kind of like another, like, circular house. So it was kind of like half, it was almost like moon shaped, like a crescent shape. And that's where the musicians were, actually. So they had their own section where they could be in to avoid the rain as well, because it did end up raining at some point. So we're all walking into the circle from the hut, and they're already playing their music. They're kind of like starting to practice to get their movement going as well. And, like, all of this is supposed to really, like, that's what my friend told me as well. She said, like, this is supposed to make us connected. Like, otherwise, like, we're not on the same wave. Like, we're not on the same vibe if you're not, like, you know, experiencing the same thing that I'm experiencing. Like, still very uniquely, but also there's, like, a foundation to the experience, you know. There's something that connects us. So that's what she said. So I'm kind of like, okay. That was mostly my motivator as well, because I didn't want to feel like I was not experiencing it the way that I was supposed to in that moment. So I'm glad that I did. I just didn't know, like, how things would play out afterwards. And that was the part that kind of, like, made me a little nervous. But everything went super great. So we get to the circle. I end up taking my shoes off. I'm like, okay, I feel like I can't wear these, like, they were kind of like mini heels, but not really. But they were like kind of the square ones. So, you know, it was easy to like dance and stuff. Decided to take them off anyways. I took them off. And, oh my God, wait. All right. So anyways, sorry. I had to cough really bad. It hurt. But anyways, so we're going into the circle. I took my shoes off. And it was just nice because there were other people who were also without shoes on. And I think there were also just some people who had already been there before, who had experienced this already. So I felt like their comfortability also made me comfortable. So, my God, I'm so sorry with the coughs. So we start to dance, and we're dancing around the offering that's outside, because in the outside part there was also another larger offering, and it was so beautifully laid out. Like, there was so many different elements to it. So we were all dancing around the offering, and the leader of the dance could also, like, kind of move however it wanted to, and we just had to follow. So it was cute because there were some different movements that we also did, which was really nice, and it was just really beautiful to participate. To be dancing and to just be dancing to New Canchicas also, And just seeing so many women also being part of the band, just participating, who were singers, who were dancing. It was a beautiful experience, I will say. So we were all dancing around the circle, around the offering. And they also had people who were, how would you say? Like, they were like, they had this little like blower, and it helped to like blow some of the fire that they had in this little, in these, not these containers, but they were kind of like containers. They looked like pots, and inside they had tobacco, and they were burning tobacco and flaming it, you know, just like using something to my throat. And we danced for maybe like, I want to say we danced for close to an hour. I would say maybe 45 minutes. We were just going around in circles, doing different patterns. And yeah, I would say we danced for maybe 45 to an hour, if not close to an hour. That's why I say maybe like 45. But we danced for a long time. And the movement of the dance is very like a beat. So you're also following the music as well. You're not just kind of doing whatever, but you follow the music. And sometimes the music is a little more slower. Sometimes it's more a beat. For the most part, it was all a beat. And it was just, it was gorgeous. It was such good music to dance to also. I felt like it really was. I was talking to my cousin. She was like, it's like an Andean rave. And I'm like, yeah, kind of. Low key. Like, this is what we were dancing to and enjoying at one point in life. When things were very, just when the earth was different, you know, not to get poetic, but just, you know, like on some real shit, like I just feel like when life was different, when the earth was free type vibe. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. The dance was beautiful. So we did one section, we did one round, and that was 45 minutes. That was the first round. We do that. And crazy, because like we ended up doing that like four separate times. So we were dancing for close to like 2 hours and a half, maybe two. You know, we had breaks in between, like 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes. So, and after the first session that we did of dancing, after we were done with the dance, when we were ready to wrap up, we all had to face the offering and, you know, bow and just give our thanks and also just pray. Some of us put our head close to the ground. And there are other people who were, you know, just more like kind of taking in everything in the dance, just kind of catching their breath. And I think that the plant medicine also did have some attributes that made the experience also very intense on its own, but I think it's also very different for everybody, and I think that that's really what it always comes down to, and being around somebody who is knowledgeable, who can help, who is trained, like trained professionals, you know. So it was really nice to be able to have that level of comfort, but it wasn't that much. Like, I think it, like I said, I think it impacted everybody differently, because my cousin was super chill about it, and I was like, what? But I felt like I'm just also such an emotional person, and that after our first round, I had to sit down. Like, I had to, like, I was like, I need juice, and I asked, and I was like, is there water? Is there juice? And we were supposed to wait, like, we were supposed to hold out a little bit. And I think that was also a really unique part of the experience too, is this need to wait and this need to have patience, and to be resilient, you know, and to say, you know what, all right, I know it's coming, but I just need to wait. I just need to wait a little longer. I need to be a little stronger, and I will get what I need. And anyway, so after that, I sat down, I started to get really emotional, my tummy was kind of hurting, I just felt like, you know, we were like sacudiendo so much because of the dancing, and I just felt like it made the elixir that we had, like I said, it was a very strong drink, and I just felt like it was just making me feel super bloated, and I just felt like I really had to burp, and it was like uncomfortable. If you guys know that feeling, you know, but yeah, I was a little uncomfortable. I was like, all right, I just have to make it through. Like, I'll be okay. So, so I ended up being okay. And then I ended up realizing I just really needed to cry. Like, I think this need to throw up was really just my need to, like, be emotional and, like, let it all out. And I started to cry. I got really emotional. I got sensitive. And which is natural for me. Like, I'm a natural crier anyways. Like, I cry, like, I don't know. You can ask anybody, honestly. Like, I feel like I'm such an emotional person. It's not even funny. But, yes, I got really emotional. And at that point, I was sitting kind of away from the circle, the outside part that I was talking about. And I was sitting, like, on a patch of grass. And at that point, we had made friends with people, so it's not like we were alone. And there was a woman named Luz, and that's my mom's name, so it was really cute to know that she was there. And it was just so, like, I felt like it was such a good sign, I don't know. And then my cousin was there, and he had gone off to the restroom, so I was kind of, like, to my own. So it was just me and her kind of talking. So I started to get emotional, I started to cry, and she's like, it's okay. And they're like, do you feel sick? Like, do you feel like you need to, like, throw up? And I was like, no, I'm fine, like, everything's cool. And then actually Sada's mom came over to me, and she gave me a hug. And it was really sweet, because at that time I hadn't really known her. And, you know, it was a unique experience for me, at least. And just to be in a vulnerable state and then have somebody that I barely know just acknowledge me in that way. And also just being in La Yacta, like, it was so beautiful, like, to feel so seen and accepted and to be loved in that way by someone I had never met before, but I felt so connected to because of where we were, because of the emotional state that we were in, but also just the fact that we came from the same community, and we shared that and we shared that love, that collective love, in a very special and unique way. So it was really nice. It was a very nice hug, and I needed it. And then my cousin came. He was like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And then I got more emotional with him, like, coming over, because I felt like I was like, oh my God, I felt like a little kid. But it was fine. Like, I let it out. And he was like, it's okay, it's okay. And I was like, okay, okay. I'm like, let's go. And I think for the most part, it wasn't me being emotional because I was sad. I think there was one part of me that did feel that way, that was kind of purging some of these old feelings. But also, I think a lot of it was just a lot of gratitude, just feeling so grateful, feeling so thankful that I met Sara and that she invited me to be part of the space. And to just be able to experience something I had never known about before, in such a beautiful and intimate way. So we end up having to go back. That was like the 10-minute little break that they gave us. Then we had to go back to the circle, and we did another round. And that one was a little shorter. I would say maybe that was like 30 minutes, which I guess technically isn't that super short, but it was definitely shorter than the other times that we had been dancing, the first time especially. And yeah, and it was intense. Like, we really had to, like, and, like, especially after me crying, I felt like I was really sensitive, I felt like I was bloated, and I was just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going through it right now. I'm like, I kind of wish I would just let it all out, you know, like, physically purge it out, because I just felt like it was really making my stomach uncomfortable. And I was like, honestly, I'm just gonna keep going, whatever happens happens, and I'll just be there for myself when I need to be. So we did another set of dancing, and the music again was gorgeous. And just a note about the music too, the two groups that were there were representative of two different communities. So we had one from Saraguro, and because we were in Saraguro too, it made sense to have a band from there. I can't remember their name. I'll have to find out from my friend to see what she says. But that's a good note to make too, because I do need to know. I do need to figure that out. I would like to figure it out. And then also we had Nyukan Chikausai, and they had their group there, and they were the Kanyari representatives, musical representatives. And hold on one second, my cat wants to come inside. So the next set of dancing starts, and we're also there, like I said, 30 minutes. We do the same thing. We go, we dance, and at that point, I still felt really emotional, especially when I started to dance. When we first started to like move and go around in the circle, just because I felt like it was really surreal to me to had been just practicing the rhythm, the Cañari rhythm, like on the drum, and then being able to be in the presence of this band, Ñucán Chica Osay, and to be dancing for them and just to be enjoying their music was such a rush of emotions on its own. Like I feel like my emotional state was very much justified, even though it doesn't need justification, but it felt very justified. And there was a point where I was like, you know what? Yes, like I do feel very emotional about this, and I'm gonna just feel it. I'm just gonna feel the emotion and be cool about it. That's what I started to do. So I started to be cool about it. Like I just started to feel, and I was thinking of my dad, and I was thinking about them and how much I love them. And like, they were really the foundation. My dad is the foundation of a lot of what I'm doing today. My mom is the foundation of what I'm doing today, of who I am, and who I'm becoming. Oh my God, who I'm becoming and who I've always been. I think that's really the key component here is, you know, one of the lessons that I took away from celebrating Capac Remy was that this has always been here. You know, it's just about returning back to the information, but also learning to let go of things, of energy that just doesn't serve you anymore in the same way. And it's okay to go through that transformation process. But yeah, so we did that round, same thing, danced, had a beautiful time. But yeah, I was feeling emotional, and then eventually I started to really enjoy it. I was like, you know what, like I'm gonna really enjoy this, like like look at where I am, like look at what I'm doing, and just enjoy it, just have fun, you know, and let go, let loose. And I remember seeing the Cañari older couple that I was talking to you guys about earlier, and they were dancing, like there was one couple in front of us, and then it was them. And it was so nice because I felt like I was watching them, and they also made me super emotional, and it made me feel, I obviously don't know their story, their life story, what they've been through, but just to see them be happy at their age and be able to enjoy the music and enjoy themselves and obviously be so comfortable in who they are, like it was so inspiring for me. Like I think that journey alone has been really difficult for me, and it's one that I've really, really had a hard time overcoming and just kind of getting to this like mental space where I'm at. But seeing them also like gave me that encouragement, and it made me realize, like, you know, they're just a whole, like, it's so complicated for me to even explain. Like, it just feels like there's two different worlds I'm living in, and they're both so different. And like, how do I merge the two? How do I live this way? How do I exist this way in one environment? And how do I keep and how do I let go of some parts of me to exist in another environment, you know? So it's been a lot of that, like tick for tat, and it's been really difficult, but I'm trying my best to get to a conclusion that makes sense for me. But yeah, it was beautiful. I had such a wonderful time that session. Like I felt like I really was like, okay, like I see what's going on now. Like I get the vibes, like I got it. Like let's go, let's do this, let's have fun. So we did that. We finished the dancing. We did another prayer. We like put our heads back to the ground. The first time I didn't do it, I really needed to catch my breath. So my hands were on the ground, and I was really like taking in the moment through my hands. And then I gradually put my head to the ground. So the second time I ended up putting my head to the ground, and it felt really good to do that. And again, I was still feeling a little uncomfortable. I felt like that the elixir really messed up my stomach, but we had also barely eaten. So I think it was also the fact that I was absorbing it on basically an empty stomach. So it was okay. So then we end up going back. I think after the second time we go back into the hut, everybody goes back and we do a second round of the powder and that part of the ceremony. And I think that's all we did. I think they gave you the elixir too if you wanted, but I passed on it. I was like, I think I'm okay at this point. And I felt there was a point too, like in the first half of the day, like at that point it must have been like maybe afternoon, maybe like 1 p.m. or so, So we had started dancing around 11. It was probably 1, and we still had 2 more sessions to go. So we, we ended up going back. Like I said, we, you know, some people took part in you know, the plant medicine, and then we ended up going back outside. So we go back out, and at that point we were so exhausted. It was so evident to people, like, that we were all tired. And then it wasn't until after the third session we ended up getting food. So they gave us some fruit, and we ended up, you know, just like kind of relaxing and decompressing together and just absorbing the moment and being unified and kind of checking in on each other to make sure we were all good. People were crying. I was crying. Like, there was, it was so a lot. And it's really interesting because the lady, Sara's mom, when I talked to her afterwards, like later in the night, I remember she told me, she said, when I saw you crying, like, it made me want to cry too. And I remember sharing with my friend John, you know, this experience. And he was like, maybe you help people also feel like they can express themselves, you know, and they can really, you know, feel empowered to just feel, you know, and to let go and to release. And that felt really interesting. It stuck with me a lot when she said that. But yeah, so we finally end up getting, after the third round of dancing, we finally end up getting, you know, some food, and we were like, okay, like, it was just some fruit, so it was very light. Because we still had to get through it. I feel like that was really the point of the dancing as well. And us just being, the musicians and the dancers participating in the ceremony this way, I think was really important. And I think I realized it towards the end why it was. And we were all, it really did feel like that. We were all going on this very intense, unique journey where we had to overcome the need. But like, we were, I was remembering when I was dancing, like, this is for something bigger. Like, you're not just doing this because you're having fun. Also, like, you're doing this as a way of self-sacrificing, of giving, of saying thank you for all of what you have done for us, Pachamama, for all of what you have given us this year, of all of your love, of all of your abundance, of all of your guidance. And I think that's really what was I think my biggest takeaway from also just the amount of endurance that you needed as well, and also just like the faith and just knowing that like there was this journey that you were going on, and you would make it out of the journey, and you'll be okay, you know. And I think that's with every plant medicine that you take. I think that is you know, an experience that only one person can experience themselves. Like, no one can convince you to do it. But I think it really just made such an incredible experience. So we did that. Like I said, we had the fruit, so that was the third time. And then we did one more round, and the fourth round was my favorite part, and which is also where I ended up recording and getting video. I got some photographs as well of Nyukan Chikaosai. They were dancing actually in the middle where we were dancing. They ended up dancing at the end. So the Sarugureños, they played music for the Cañaris, and then the Cañaris ended up playing for the Sarugureños. And it was really nice to be able to see everybody enjoy. Like, even the musicians, they had their time to also participate, to dance. And it was beautiful to see them dance, because I felt like they were behind the music the whole day, and then they had the chance to really like let themselves loose after also being dedicated and disciplined in their music, and being dedicated and you know, really poniendo esfuerzo and what they were doing, and putting a lot of love behind it. You know, I think that's really what I got from their participation. They're part of the participation, but I should definitely ask her how she felt about it, like, after, because she's done it before already. Like, this isn't new to her, from what I understood afterwards. And that conversation we'll explore in the next entry, because that's what I'm actually going to talk about, my interviews with Nyukan Chikaosai. And I'm so excited to be sharing that information, because it's going to be beautiful. And just to kind of wrap up, because it's getting a little long, this episode, I'm going to keep it at 50 minutes. So in the next 5 minutes, I just want to, you know, wrap up the event. So We do the last round, and that's where, like I said, the musicians got a chance to dance, and it was beautiful. And the photographs and the footage just came out so unreal. Oh my God. It was, seeing it in person was just a whole, like, other experience. And then, you know, like, seeing it on camera, like, I feel like I couldn't really capture it, but I also did. And, like, seeing it, I feel like it was proof of a dream that I had. That's what I felt like. I felt like I had proof of a dream that I had of this beautiful experience that I got to share with other individuals who are of the community, who live there, exist there, breathe it every day, you know? And it was gorgeous. It's gorgeous to look back at it now and have it. And I'm really contemplating how I want to go about using the footage itself, because I think it's going to be really important how I unravel it and how I choose to see, let other people see it, to let other people experience it. And I need it to come out in an honorable way, in a way that doesn't feel like I'm prying, but rather being able to share some selected intimate moments of that experience. And yeah, I don't know. I've also been feeling really differently about that concept as well, that, like, yes, there are some things I can share, but there are also some things I don't know if I'm ready to share or if the world is ready to understand just yet. You know, like, I think there needs to be installments, you know, like upgrades, like we'll just do upgrades every week, like every whatever, you know. But yeah, so it was an incredible night. At the end, they did a temazcal, and that's basically where it's basically like not a sauna, more like a steam room. They end up taking rocks that they put inside of the fire that we originally built in the morning. They had rocks in there, and they had 20 rocks. They had probably had more than that, but that's how many I think they ended up using. I think they said it was 17 or 20 or something like that, but it was a high number. It was over 15, and they used over 15 rocks, and they put it inside the temazcal. And people were inside, so there was, like, a nice group of us. And I ended up going in there, too. I didn't stay very long, though. And at this point, it was nighttime. They had given us food. We ate. Oh, no. First, they did the temazcal, and then people went to go eat. But there were other people who already went to go have dinner and stuff. They were giving you soup, and that came included. Also with what we paid for the entry to be part of the celebration. They ended up being in there for maybe about 20 minutes. I think that's how long they said it was. I think it was 20 or 25 minutes. It must have been 20, though. But they were in there for a while, because I remember I ate and they were still in there. And the only reason why I left and got out was, one, because I was super nervous about it. I was, like, kind of feeling super claustrophobic before I even got inside the actual tent itself. And it was kind of small, and, like, it was like a tarp that they had put, and it was heavy, and, like, you could hear that it was heavy, and it just hearing them close it and, like, really, like, make sure nothing was coming out of the tent made me feel really, like, oh my God. But luckily it was right near the door, so eventually when they opened the door again to put in more, the rocks also, by the way, they don't call them rocks, they call them abuelas, los abuelos, and they took one and they put the abuelas inside. And, you know, every so often they were going to have to open the thing to add more rocks. And my cousin was in there. So he was, like, on the further side. The only reason why I got out was because I was closer to the door. I was literally in front of the door. And I was in there for maybe 5 minutes. And then they opened it up and they're like, okay, like, you have to get out because we have to put the rocks back in. We have to pour more rocks in. More of the abuelas in. And sorry, let me correct myself. And I was like, okay, no, that's no problem. Like, my friend told me, if you start to feel claustrophobic, if you feel like you need air, just put your face to the floor and you'll be fine, because the ground is really cold and you'll be able to feel it and you'll feel more comfortable like that and you'll be able to get through it. So I was already doing that from the beginning because I was nervous and I didn't know what was happening. So eventually I realized it wasn't, like, terrible, but, like, it was starting to get hot, and then they were adding more abuelas, so I kind of felt like it was gonna get more intense. And when I got out, they were like, okay, like, you can get dressed if you want to now, like, it's okay. And I was like, oh, Okay. But my cousin stayed in there for a significant amount of time. He was in there for, like I said, maybe 20 minutes. They finally got out and they were like drenched in sweat. It was crazy. And my cousin was like, I don't know if you would have made it. And I was like, yeah, I know that I probably wouldn't have made it. Like it was intense already. And I was, like I said, I was feeling claustrophobic. I was like, I don't know about this. He was like, yeah, I don't know if you would have made it. He was like, it was getting kind of intense. And even the other girl, Luce, that we made friends with, she was saying that too. She was like, she's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, you know, I'm feeling like claustrophobic basically. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one, but I was the only one who left and did not endure. And I felt really bad because the guy that we originally met at the beginning, Jose Pichasaka, I believe that, no, I, that might not have been, I think it was his name, but I just know that we had the same last name. And he was like, no, come on. He was like, you gotta go. He was like, you gotta go in. He was like, look, like, we're pizza secas, and one thing that we don't do is ever give up. And I was like, damn, well, I'm not giving up. Like, I'm gonna go in, but like, I'm just not gonna stay there for a long time, which I didn't. And that was also really funny on its own. But you know, I'm glad that I didn't, because I had the chance to recuperate. I felt like I had a really strong experience just dancing and with the plant medicine, and I just felt like I really needed like a second to decompress, and I felt like that would have really just overdid it. And I think that I made the right choice upon leaving and you know, just changing and getting comfortable and waiting for my cousin, because I was able to help him also after he got out, like, you know, just to get himself together and make sure that he had everything. So I felt like I was meant to be also kind of like, not like a babysitter, but also just like help, like a helper, just lend a helping hand when I need it. So I feel like I needed to be also on my P's and Q's, because we also had to drive home, and home was 2 hours away. So it took us a while to get home anyways. Regardless, it didn't take us 2 hours, it took us 4 hours to get, oh, 4 hours to get back home, but it was fine. So after he gets up to Temezcal, at that point I had already eaten. I like talked to somebody who had been part of the ceremony before, and he was telling me his experience, and it was just cool to meet other people, to have conversation. Eventually I ended up seeing Sara again, and she had lost her voice, I think from singing, I'm not sure, but she ended up losing her voice that night, so it was hard for her to speak when I said goodbye to her. But I said goodbye to her mom, I said hello to some other band members. And that's when she ended up telling me, she was like, yeah, like that, like you seeing you cry made me cry too. And I was just like, damn, I'm sorry. But I'm glad that people were also letting themselves cry. I feel like a big part of why I also let myself get emotional is because I don't feel like it was something that just women were allowed to feel and experience before. And I think just being able, not that they weren't allowed to, I'm sure they did in their own time, but I feel like the women from, you know, from our communities just really had to kind of be like, you know what, I'm gonna suck it up and I'm just gonna keep going, you know, I'm just gonna keep doing what I gotta do and not worry about my emotions right now. So I feel like crying and being vulnerable and doing all of that, feeling through the problem and not really avoiding it, like the only way to get out is to go through it. So gotta go through it, and I emotionally went through it, and it was great. I loved it, and would I do it again? Maybe, I'm not sure, to be honest, because it was really intense. But I think I would do all of the Chinese ones. I would participate fully in whatever way that looked like. I don't think it's like that everywhere. I will say I know that it's not like that everywhere. So I think I'd like to do some more investigating, just in terms of what are some things that we know for a fact are part of what used to happen during the celebrations, and how can we verify some of that, you know. So that's really my only main takeaway from Kapak Raimi. But otherwise, beautiful. The location was beautiful. And just the people, the vibe was really nice. I do feel like the payment was worth it, because it was $40 per person. So I paid for me and my cousin. And I do feel like it was worth it, because they're also spending a lot of money
To begin with, too, to also make it possible, when you think about the offering, you think about how much is being invested in creating the offering itself. Like, that's a lot of money, I think, that goes into it. And I think just being able to also be helpful, I think, just monetarily, and being able to preserve some of this stuff, some of these celebrations and the way that they're being celebrated is really important too. So yeah, it was a beautiful experience. I definitely recommend, I recommend just being part of the community. I recommend looking into it. And it was nice because I feel like I also learned like its significance too, and that it, you know, two children actually got baptized there, which is really cool. And I think that was also, that's also part of what is celebrated in Capac Remis, to remember. I saw also to organize, like, it's like a celebration of organizing, of, which seemed really odd to me, like, just seemed like a really odd, I don't know, like, word for it, but from what I've read also, it's also just a time, for children to also grow up, and, like, kind of almost like a Sweet 15 type vibe. And, you know, you go into this new phase of your life where you are older, you're more responsible, you get tools to help build your future, literally, like, get tools to build your future, and just get passed down information and knowledge to help children enter into this new phase of their life. So it was really unique to see that too, to have that celebration, and it was gorgeous. It was really, really unique to see it, and to just, I think, feel, I think it was so beautiful to, at the end, after they did all of the baptisms, after you know, before they did the temazcal, because that was later in the night, I remember, you know, we were just all super thankful, and really just remembering why we were there, what our purpose was, and what our purpose is moving forward, and holding that knowledge, holding that experience, and being able to translate that into something that will help people understand how to live in a more harmonious way with themselves, but also with the world around them, and to become more connected. So it was a beautiful experience. Like I said, we ended with the temazcal. My cousin got out, helped him get himself ready. Then he ended up having some food. We ended up leaving, and it was by then probably 10. There were still people there doing their own thing, but we decided to dip because we had to go pretty far. So we had 2 hours to drive. Like I said, it took us 4 hours because he kept stopping so he could sleep. We weren't moving anywhere. And I was like, okay, like, we need to take turns, like, driving. So we were taking turns driving, making sure we were safe. And eventually, like, I ended up getting us home and we were good. And then I think he drove at 1.2. I can't remember. But yeah, then we ended up getting home around like 3:30 probably. Yeah, and yeah, we ended up eating some more actually after we left the site that we were on, the ceremonial site. And it's actually it's owned, from what I remember, he said it was owned by the family itself, but they turned it into a ceremonial site. And it's a beautiful location to hold a ceremony as well, to hold a celebration. So super beautiful. I really do love it. I have a post of it up actually on my Instagram, so you can check it out. But yeah, beautiful times, beautiful people, beautiful music. My God, I can't even express how genuinely how beautiful it was to dance to traditional autóctono music. Like, I have no words. Truly, I have no words. Beautiful. I really hope to release some more specific images and footage from Capac Remis, which I will be doing actually this coming week, because I really want to start rolling out all of the stuff that I've captured, all of the images. I think I'm going to also be releasing my first interview this month, which will be really exciting. I'm hoping to do it close to the end of the month. So that will come out super soon, and you guys will hear about it more as I finalize a date But yeah, so I'm hoping for a lot of really interesting things to happen in the coming months. I'm super excited, and I'm really excited to share with you guys this next part of this three-part series that you guys are getting about my next adventure, which was one, getting sick, and also how that was terrible, but also just my time in Cañar and spending time interviewing new Canchica Osai, but also doing interviews and like talking to my grandma and just documenting and just... It was really nice, but there was a lot of frustrating things that happened along the way. Only one major one, but, you know, that and also being sick that I can't wait to explore with you guys in the next entry in the next part of this series. So stay tuned, stick around, and let me tell you about my time in Cañar.